Wow. So just raise your hands up into that glory realm. Father, we just receive every impartation that you have for us. Father, the divine wisdom, the divine counsel of the Holy One, of the Righteous One, of the Worthy One. Father, we just thank you for every revelation and encounter of wisdom right now. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for showing us how to shake the tree. Father, we know that you want us to walk in the kingdom realms and in the heavenly realms. And Father, we know from there we are kings and priests in the kingdom. And Father, we thank you for elevating us financially that we could make a greater impact in this territory, in this state, in this nation, in the countries. Let us make disciples of nations in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. Whoa, he is good. He is a good, good God. Amen. Wow, I am so excited. He is doing something new this year. Anybody felt the shift that took place this year? I mean, a lot of times, you know, at the first of the year, you're like gung-ho making all these, different declarations that you're going to do. But that's like this year, it's like I didn't have to make declarations of what I was going to change. I just had to look at the vision and give it to the Lord. And he is just pounding his way through. Amen? Anybody else encountered him that way this year? He's just changing and moving in ways that I've never seen before. It's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Wow. Wow. Such a call, great call upon your life. Oh, just a miracle mantle upon your life. You that everything that you've been through, everything that you have walked through, is becoming your ministry. And God is going to elevate you into this. And there is a belief, there is a faith. Let me put it this way, there's different kinds of faith. There is a mustard seed faith. Everybody is giving a measure of faith. And then there is the kind of faith that is for your calling. There's a faith that is according to the grace that's on your life. That faith is the faith that you have for your calling. And so God is going to begin giving you the ingredients to see this come to pass. There is a great recompense on your behalf taking place so that you can see this calling come forth. And you don't need my kind of faith. You don't need the faith that I have that takes you to another country or takes you to another state. Or you just have to have the kind of faith that's for your calling. Amen? And so you don't have to try and attain my faith. Attain his kind of faith that's for your call upon your life. Amen? And so, you know, when we walk in the supernatural realms, when we walk from a heavenly mindset looking down to earth, then we will see the supernatural works take place in our life. And we can walk in a faith or a revelation that puts us up above so that every ailment, every sickness, every disease, we have authority over. Amen? And so when we have a call upon our lives, and it's a miracle, healing, signs and wonders mantle, then we see from up above. And not everybody accepts and receives what you have from above. Amen? I'll give you an example. I don't know if Steve was with us in Dayton, where we had such a prophetic anointing on us in worship. You probably, I don't know if you were or not. Yeah. Christy was. And they do not receive, if it's not a prophetic realm, they do not receive prophetic utterances. And so they can shut you down. I mean, just bam, and you're done. Amen. But the kind of faith that it takes for the miracle mantles, the miracle signs, wonders, is the kind of faith that looks from up here and says, it doesn't matter what took place when you got shut down. What matters is you deposited what you deposited when you were there.
Right.
Amen? Right. And so your only job and your only position when you have the opportunity is only to give an opportunity. And if you give that opportunity, then you can walk away with peace. Amen? So when you walk into a house, it says in the New Testament, you walk in, if they don't receive you, wipe the dust off your face, feet, and carry your peace yeah, off your face. dust off your feet. And take up your peace because you gave them the opportunity. Amen? And I know there's a lot of people in here that has been rejected for the gift that they carry because everybody else hasn't realized and recognized that everybody has a different faith for the call upon their life. Because if it doesn't look like my faith, then it can't be his kind of faith. That is a shift that's taking place in the church. There is such an acceptance that is getting ready to take place where the judgmental, critical spirit is going to leave. The word that was spoken in, I think it was at the New Year's thing we had here, was that God's been speaking to me on that word, where he said that he was going to remove the Jezebelic spirit from the midst of us in the church.
Right.
You remember that? And he is revealing right now to the body of Christ so that we can see plainly that we don't need to judge anymore, but that we've been totally accepted in heaven, and we can totally accept everyone else's gift. Amen? We read 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, and we read over, and we see there's diversities in the body of Christ, and we can't, you know, the thumb can't tell the pinky what to do, and they got to operate on their own, right? You see it? Isn't that funny? Rock on. But without the eye, we can't see. And without the ear, we can't hear. But too many times, since the eye is looking at someone and it says, hey, you're not looking at what I'm looking at. And it's the ear. And the ear is going, well, you're not hearing what I'm hearing. You know, you need to see what I see and you need to hear what I hear. No. We all have our place. We all have our calling. We all have faith for the gift and the call that's upon our life. Amen. You can talk to any major miracle healing evangelist, pastor, anybody that has a great call on their life. It was a prophetic word that touched their lives, that changed them, that gave them the ingredients to see where they're supposed to go, because it's the faith that was upon their life given by a word. Amen. I remember the first word that I got from the Lord was that I was going to speak the language of love. He was going to teach me how to speak the language of love. And at this time in my life, I was drinking, I was smoking, I wasn't the worst I had been in my life, but I wasn't the greatest. And he told me that, and I was so secluded that I wouldn't answer a front door. I wouldn't answer a phone. I had Lanita do all that. I didn't talk to her. We never had a fight because I didn't talk to her. It worked. And he said, and when he tells me this, I began shaking and weeping in a basement of a church in the middle of the night. It's about 2 a.m. And at that moment, that word put faith in me that changed my life forever. And one word. And I remember calling Lanita, hey, Lanita, I think God's talking to me. And I'm weeping and crying. And she said, yeah, I think he's talking to me too. And so we meet at Waffle House. And we're like sitting at the table and I'm shaking. I still got the power of God all over me. And I'm smoking a cigarette. Back when you could smoke, you know, in the restaurants. Like, tears are going down my face. And I'm still encountering God. I mean, it was the most amazing thing ever. But it was the call that has never left me. That word has never left me. And it's the faith from this word that you're going to see walked out in your life. Amen? Wow. All right. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. He is so good. Couple more realms of faith. There's the measure of faith that we talked about, the faith that is your responsibility, and this is the best. Well, I don't want to say the best. It's one of the best kinds of faith that is your responsibility. Because if you ever put effort into your faith, the kind that you have to go after, it's when you begin to see, I believe, the greatest move of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's the renewing of your mind. It's God says to renew your mind, right? And to do that, then it substantiates our faith. In fact, I totally believe in studying the Word, reading the Word, getting the word in us to a place that everything that looks impossible is totally logical to take place. And I believe if we can get our faith, we work our faith to that place where we believe it's logical. Healing. To believe for healing. I can remember when I first started in healing, I had to study healing. In fact, even if I'm going to go do a healing conference now, like when I go to Cleveland, I have to be prepared for healing because God really set the bar high there. Amen? The first time we went there, there was a lady that had a brand new bone put in her elbow where she could not bend her elbow past this right here, and she's got x-rays to prove it. A brand new bone was put in her elbow, and she can bend her elbow totally. And so, and then there was an alcoholic there that he was in stage 4 liver failure, and he needed a liver transplant, but they wouldn't give him one because he was still an alcoholic. Amen? But God is so good. And I said, you know, if God gives you a new liver, are you going to treat it the same way? No, I won't. I said, well, then let's believe for a brand new liver. And we prayed, and he got a brand new liver. Amen? Quit drinking alcohol. It broke immediately off of him. Amen? And it comes because you have to prepare yourself for where you're going, for your call, what you're doing. And it that's the kind of faith that it takes your doing. Amen? There is the measure of faith that was given to you, like when you're saved. That's the measure of faith. When you become saved, it's like something rises up in you and you have faith to conquer the world, right? It's like you are on fire and you're going to go take it. That measure of faith is different for everyone. Amen? But you do have a measure. So then you have the kind of faith that is your responsibility, and then you have the kind of faith that is a gift. And I love the gift. There's also something I don't have here, but I want to mention it, is the spirit of faith. And I love this revelation he gave to me. Anytime you read the gifts of the Spirit, healing, forgiveness, anything that is dealing with a one-time instant, then you can carry a spirit of that. And let me put it in a way of Have you ever been around someone who's so full of love that no matter what they do, it's just love? It's because they carry a spirit of love. Amen? Now, there's people that can walk in love. Like, you'll be in a moment, and you'll find yourselves, actually, and hopefully this will identify it for you so that you can tell the difference between a gift and the spirit. The gift will be like you're in an instance and somebody is just going after you and attacking you and calling you names, and all of a sudden you feel the gift of love come on you, and it's like it blocks all the words out. You don't hear anything. You don't really see anything. You just know that there's a peace and a calm and a gentleness that comes over you and a deep sense of love for the person and their hurt and their pain. Anybody ever experienced that? Yeah. That's a gift. And so when I talk about the gift of faith, that is the gift. It falls on you for the instant. When you have somebody, a blind man in Kenya, you guys know this story, just a couple years ago, we're in a crusade, and the blind man at the end of hundreds and hundreds of people being healed, there's this blind man, and I felt like I had no anointing. I had nothing on me. I couldn't feel anything, and I was kind of half afraid to pray for this guy in front of thousands of people, not knowing if it was going to work, but God said he was going to do something. And so as I began to pray for him, I could sense that God was doing something. And when I pulled my hands off and he could see white and he could see figures, shadows, and forms of people, then the gift of faith fell on me. It was an impartation. I was like, this is it. Bam. And his eyes opened up and the village blind man was healed. And the whole village, everybody in attendance was saved because of that. That's the gift that I'll come preach to you. I'm telling you, it changed my life. It changed my life. To see a gift of faith drop on you makes you so humble because you walk away and you're, I had nothing to do with that. And now everybody's looking at you, and you have to just walk away, and you get in a car and you drive away, you know. And it's very, very humbling when a gift falls on you because you know it wasn't you. And so many times the faith that we work up, I can prophesy to people. I can work my faith to a place that people will get healed. But when the gift falls on you, you know it's not you. Right. Amen? I want everybody to get that differentiation, that there is a difference between a gift or walking in a gift of healing. A gift of healing is not all the time. It says that he disperses it as he wills, the Spirit of God. And there'll be times in a meeting where the Spirit of God can't even move because of the people's doubt. But then a gift of faith can fall on you and break every doubt in the room. Amen? I can remember on the streets of Mansfield. Some of you from Mansfield might remember on the square, it was the big day where they did the haircuts and the food and everything. And God said that I'm going to heal ears. And I kind of ignored it because on the street, there's something about when you just speak the word to street people, they're not there to hear the word. You know what I mean? And so you're just out there just kind of, and there's 500 people there. And you're just walking by, and they're walking by, not paying you any attention. And then all of a sudden, God said, no, I want to heal ears. Well, eventually, after a person got their ears healed, this deaf boy, he was 7 years old, his mom brought him up, and we prayed for him, and his ears popped open. But it was a gift of faith because God is giving me a word. And you have to attach his word to faith. And when you do that, his ears pop right open. And he screams, "Jesus! Jesus!" And then takes off running with his friends. I mean, I'm like, wow. And so, you know, and it was cool because a deaf person doesn't have straight speech, but immediately he was healed even of that. It's incredible. But it's a difference between walking in a spirit of healing. See, I walk in a spirit of healing. I see people healed all the time wherever we go. But when a gift of healing falls, there is notable miracles that take place. Amen? So there is the difference. Okay, let's move on to the other. You know, I probably ought to give you some scriptures, huh? Let's see. You want to write these down if you want. You can look at them. Of course, my favorite is 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. I think I tell you that every time I see you. But you know what really started me on this journey of the different types of faith was a tough circumstance with people. And it was that orientation of, is their faith like my faith? And will my faith be able to be around their faith? It's not what they believe, and it's not what I believe, so can I be around them who don't believe the way that I believe? Do they believe? You know what I mean? Yeah. And so God sent me on this journey to look at the different kinds of faith in our own lives, in each life. And that's where that calling came from. And so Romans 12, 3 through 7 is the measure of faith. And we'll go ahead and read it. We'll just read 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And so it told me right there. He was like, I was getting spanked. It's like, psh, 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 by God, and correcting me. And he was saying, each one has a different measure. And so don't compare your measure to their measure or anybody else's measure. How many times do we look at, like, say, Bill Johnson or what's another big name? Kenneth Copeland or C.J. Gall. Yeah.
Any of them. Me.
How many times do we look at them and we say, man, I wish my faith could be like theirs. But in reality, we don't want our faith to be like theirs. We want our faith to be like ours. And when we can own our faith, then we can become something like them. That makes sense? And so I began, he was massaging my heart, making it soft. And he's saying, your measure is so different than Christie's. So different than Jeff's. And he was saying, now, their measure, don't look at their measure. Don't compare measures. I hand out the gifts as I will. And as I hand them out, then you will see their gifts in operation. But still do not measure according to yours. Amen? How many want to see the blind eyes open? It's a great measure of faith. And to get there, we have to not just build our own faith, but we have to accept that responsibility that the measure he gave us is ours. We have to take ownership. It's like, I don't know if I did it here, about business owners. Is that here? Who in here is a business owner or really into business? Yeah? And a lot of times when we go through life or owning a business, we don't take ownership of the business and say, when somebody says, what do you do for a living? I'm like, well, I make websites and I build furniture and I run a heavy equipment business and I run a ministry and I and it goes on, you know, and all of a sudden we heard a word that said, no, you need to say, I'm a business owner. It makes you take ownership of who you are and what you do. Why do you got to make it so simple?
Because it is.
Because it is, yeah. And it's the same with your faith. You have to take ownership and say, I am faith. I am faith. Everybody just say that. I am faith. And you can feel faith rise up inside of you. Amen? And so that's the other kind of faith. And so that's Romans 12, 1 through 10. We won't read all that. This one is the faith that is your responsibility. This is scripture for it. Romans 12, 1. Actually, we'll do 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's your responsibility to renew your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. And another part or another scripture that it's your responsibility is Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by. So it's our responsibility to hear. In your car, you get words going. At home, you be playing whatever needs to be playing that's going to feed your faith. Amen. That is the kind of faith that you have to build yourself. You know, when I need to do a healing conference, I will pull out my journals of everybody that's been healed, that I've seen God heal through the ministry. And I'll just start reading. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, I remember that. I remember that. I've got it's in here. There's probably, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that I can read through, and it makes my faith go. And so when I have to walk out in faith and I see somebody who has the same ailment of the person in Lancaster, Ohio that had that same ailment, my faith is already there. It's like, yeah, we're going to get this right here. This is done. Amen? And so that's your taking the responsibility. Okay, then we went through the gift of faith, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 9, and that's the different gifts. Differences, and then we're going to talk about the substance. And this is huge. Substance comes, faith is a substance of things hoped for, right? The evidence of things not seen. And so I know, though, in my life there's a substance for different aspects in people's lives that I can help. And so, like, people who are addicted or were addicted, I know that if I pray for an addicted person, I have the faith that they can be healed, delivered right then and there and not have any side effects. Amen? And now you do too. And so this is the substance kind of faith that's on your life. So that next time you know that God speaks to you and says, hey, that person's addicted. And if they want prayer for it, they're going to be healed, delivered with no side effects. And you can speak that in faith right into the person. And it's the substance upon your life. It's the substance, the things that you went through. That's the substance kind of faith. So drug addictions, knees. I had my knee healed. I had pleurisy healed. Back. I can't remember anything. Heart, blood pressure, finances. What's that? I don't know what that was. I never went to the doctor for that first one, but I was just healed. But those kinds of things that you know you've been healed from become the substance that you carry of faith so that you will see that take place in other people's lives. Amen? And so that kind of substance upon your life becomes so precious for the kingdom. That is the value that you carry in the kingdom, is everything of that substance in your life. Amen? So everything that you that you went through became priceless in an instant. Everything that took from you, time, energy, everything that has taken switches when you see the substance upon your life. Amen? Now, most people know that scripture that I used with that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, Hebrews 11:1. Evidence of things not seen. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. I love that scripture. I use that scripture for when I teach healing. Because healing is speaking to those things which are not seen, but speaking it into existence. So when there's a missing bone, you speak that bone into existence. And it's his word, it's his will, and he does it. Amen? Let's see here. Okay, then there's the number five. This is the last one. What time is it? Ooh, we're doing good. Faith, the growing kind of faith. The growing kind of faith. And this is, it kind of intertwines with it's your responsibility. But a lot of your life, I can remember when I first got saved, I seen people healed. I can remember a lady that her legs were so swollen that they were cracking, the skin was cracking from holding fluid. And I can remember praying for her, and even the scars went away, totally healed. And this was like probably, I don't know, a year after we were saved. I was seeing all of these things because I was in a revival, and I just believed. You know, I just like, whatever he did, we can do it. You know, I was a young Christian, and I was just going after it. And so I was seeing all these things. Well, we left that church, and immediately that dried up. In fact, it was probably, I don't know, 3 years before I seen a healing take place. And God taught me so much in them 3 years, showing me that it was because I was operating under the anointing that was in that house. And I had to grow in my own anointing. I had to grow in my own gift. I had to grow in my faith to be able to see that take place. Because I just thought, well, if it worked there, it's going to work here. But nobody knew me. Nobody knew how much faith I had. Amen. Until one day when we had an angelic encounter, it shifted the ministry forever, shifted my life, our lives. We had an encounter at the mall, church at the mall. And from there, you know, major things took place at the church at the mall. People with gold fillings and just, yeah, signs, wonders, miracles, all kinds of stuff taking place. But there was still some growing to do. There was still a growing that needed to take place, that even if I didn't have anything in my life, that I would still have faith. And God took us to a place where we had nothing, not even a ministry. And he said, now do you believe? It took us to a place. It was the darkest time in our life. That said, you have to now believe in me. There's nobody around you to support you. There's nobody around you that's going to pay for you. There's nobody around you that's going to give you what you need. But you have to grow.
Come on.
And at that point, we began growing in a bit. I mean, it was like, bam, everything restored, everything being brought back, everything given that needed to be given back. Amen. The kind of faith that you have to grow is the kind that brings you to a place of trusting in Him. And sometimes it is a hard place. Sometimes it can leave you feeling lonely, but it turns you to Him. Turns you to Him. Amen? Oh, because He is good. That is, let's go here. Let's go to Acts 14, 9. This will be the sixth kind of faith, seeing faith. Most of you have sat in our prophetic class, and I bring people up to show them how to prophesy and what to look for. Has anybody been in that, them classes? Well, this is really the scripture that of the training tool that I got it from.
He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed.
He what?
He had faith to be healed.
He saw. Yeah. It's okay. He saw that he had faith to be healed. And this is crucial when you're ministering. There's people that don't want to be healed. There's people that don't want to be delivered. There's people that don't want help. They love where they're at. They love being the victim. They love being sick for the attention. They love. There's people that just. So you have to get this tool that I teach. If you look around the room, you can all do it right now. Many of you have done it. But you look around the room, and you'll see the Holy Spirit highlight someone. And you'll see the faith on someone. When you're ministering, you'll see faith on people. And you'll know exactly where to go. You'll be in a grocery store, and you'll see faith on someone. Someone that needs a word. Somebody that needs healed. Somebody that needs encouraged. You'll see that faith. Amen? And so whenever I have taught that, that's what you're seeing. And you know, a lot of us, you could go Pentecostal. The power of God is on that person right there, right? That's what they're seeing. They're seeing the faith of God. Yeah. Pull out your guitar. Get to twanging. It's a seeing in the spiritual realm and to discern what is good in someone. Amen? And so, yeah.
How much do you think the marketplace is coming into you more this way?
Oh, I think it's going to be incredible. I do. I believe God is raising up business people right now. I think there's going to be a clash. The business has to come back into the church. There has to be the marketplace has to be the church. That is the church. And for the church to not accept the people that are in the marketplace, then Jesus came for nothing. I believe what has taken place is the body of Christ has lived by the teachings of the cross, and that Jesus died, and we are now at the foot of the cross, and here we are sitting there looking at the cross, looking for Jesus, instead of being up in the heavenly spheres, up in the heavenly places, to be able to see the people, to see the circumstance, to be able to do the right things. And the church has cast out the businessman. And actually, you know, the body of Christ has cast out the businessman, because they don't believe that there should be business in the church. but the church has to have business to be able to operate. And so that is coming back. I believe it's huge. Marketplace ministry is, it has to be there. That's where the lost are. In the bars, in the strip clubs, in the, wherever the sinner is, that's where we have to be.
That's right. And that'll take that weight of the laziness of that tithe message. Just give us your money so we can sit around and do this stuff.
Right.
It'll take that laziness away.
Right.
And that's what it is. I'll speak it out. It's laziness.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, giving should be a cheerful thing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Cheerful giving, yeah. and for a good cause. And
right.
Yeah, sometimes we get out of balance, and I've done it myself with the ministry. You get out of balance, and you start building your kingdom. Mm. You start building something that you want to do, and you realize it's not time for that. You have to have the support to be able to build first. And so there's a balance to it all. But there has to be business.
Right.
There has to be. Okay, so we have to see, we have to have that prophetic seeing. I believe everyone can see. Let's see, I haven't read that in a long time. Let's go to, I'm going to have to pull out my Bible. I'm trying to think where my other one is. I think it's in the other room. Go to John chapter 3, I believe it is. Okay, so John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so if you do that in reverse, since you are now born again, then you can see. And that's why I say everybody can see faith. Everybody can see everything that God is doing in people's lives. Amen? Everybody can see the king and queen in a person. If you just stop, be patient, and look for that value, that pearl that's within inside of them. Everybody. Amen? In the message it says, you're absolutely right, take it from me, unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to, God's kingdom. Amen? So you can see. It's good news. Jesus said that he couldn't do anything without seeing or hearing what the Father was doing.
That's right.
And I believe when Jesus died and was resurrected, we have now gone from sitting at the foot of the cross, wondering where he is and when he's going to come back, to now we are in a heavenly realm to be able to see. Mm-hmm. It says that we've been given all authority through him. All authority in heaven. Amen? I just love the fullness of what he did by going to the cross and being resurrected. When he died, we all died with him. And when he was raised, we were raised with him and sit at the right hand of the Father. I mean, we are in heavenly places. And so there is a great encounter this year for the body of Christ that is changing us and transforming us. And I just truly believe that we're going to see some great and mighty works of the Lord here in the United States. Amen?
Amen?
His glory is not just for the countries that are hungry. His glory is for those who are full and blessed. Amen? Amen? Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Revival. Revival is coming. Amen. Wow. Okay, let's see here. We went through seeing faith. I think we'll probably end right there. I have a whole nother section, but that's, I think, a whole nother night. So we will wait on that. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the great faith that you're imparting into us tonight. Father, that there is a faith that is rising up within us that will overcome the works of the enemy, that will overcome every ailment, every sickness, every disease, a faith that is a great faith to see the people healed, a great faith to see them delivered, a great faith to see them be loved through us. Father, we thank you for ministering to each heart here. Allow us to pick up great faith. Allow us to pick up the gift of faith. Allow us to pick up the spirit of faith. Allow us to pick up a hunger and a passion for you, a hunger and a passion to go after you, a hunger and a passion to go after the people, a hunger and passion to go after the harvest, Father. We pray to you, the Lord of the harvest, that we would be laborers in this field, that we would go out, give up everything to buy the field with the pearl, that we would give up everything so that we could see the people healed and faith arise in them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.